fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Your friends don't play fantasy? LOL. What a bunch of nerds.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, welcome to the show, Fantasy Football Today. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, and Heath Cummings. Jamie Eisenberg will be joining us soon. We got a lot today, guys. We'll talk about the most added list. Some rankings disputes, guys like Amari Cooper and Todd Gurley and Ben Roethlisberger. Of course, we're previewing the Thursday night game that nobody can wait for. Good morning, my neighbors!
Adam, I feel like, from our mic check, that I am just in this spectacular mood, ready to attack Week 16, and you're faking it a little bit.
Me?
I'm not sure you're there.
No, well, first of all, do you know what Good Morning, My Neighbors is from? Because I actually told you this is my favorite comedy. I told you this yesterday. The best comedy of all time.
The best comedy of all time. You did tell me this. I probably wasn't listening.
It's Coming to America.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good one. It's much better than Scott White's favorite comedy of all time.
Right. Ghostbusters.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it's a good, great movie, but not Coming to America. Good. Hey, Dave, good morning.
What's up, dude?
I am actually genuinely excited about today's show. We have a lot of listener questions, so, you know, we're here to help. So we'll get to those at the end of the show, probably, I'm guessing, about 45-minute mark. I do want to talk about, yeah, just some discrepancies in the rankings and why Heath is the low guy on Roethlisberger, Dave is the low guy on Cousins, Heath is the low guy on Powell, Jamie's the low guy on somebody, I don't know. But let's start with the most added list here, and your most added players. Oh, it was fun to do the waiver wire yesterday. not that much stress where there are only two people going. You do have to check your opponent, though, and see what he or she needs and maybe try to block him, and it might not be too late. San Diego DST is number one, but I want to talk about two and three. Ty Montgomery against Minnesota and Tyler Lockett against Arizona. And let's start with Montgomery. So last 2 weeks he would have finished as the number nine running back and the number two running back. Not really a PPR threat right now. Only two or three catches in seven straight games. What kind of a matchup do you think this is for Ty Montgomery, Minnesota?
Well, the one thing that stands out to me is that he represents a running game for Green Bay now. One that they're clearly ready to commit to for 15-plus carries a game. So even if it's a difficult matchup for him, which, again, I don't know if it is or if it isn't. I would imagine that it's closer to not at this point in the season. I still think the volume will be in his favor and give him a decent fantasy floor of 80 total yards. And I think he can get you significantly more than that.
80 total yards, I agree completely. I have a little bit of question as to whether they're actually going to run the ball inside the 10-yard line like they did last week.
I think they're going to keep doing it until somebody stops them.
And Minnesota might. But, yeah, I've got him as a top 10 wide receiver this week.
Are you guys going to start Ty Montgomery over A.J. Green and or Julio Jones?
No.
I'm not prepared to do that yet.
All right. Because, you know, that is a question that we're going to get to. You know, do we automatically start those two? And that's in our mailbag session. And we'll get to that in a minute. Now, we didn't talk, or in a little more than a minute, we didn't talk about Tyler Lockett. He wasn't in the waiver wire notes. He had 9 targets, 7 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown. All season highs. His first touchdown of the year. That was Thursday against the Rams. Now, here come the Cardinals, who actually give up the 9th most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. They've allowed double-digit fantasy points to at least one wide receiver in 6 straight games. And Lockett was a total afterthought for me. I did not even consider picking him up in the 2 leagues I'm still in. And I don't know that I would have considered picking him up if I were still in all 9 of my leagues. Am I crazy? Am I missing something here? The third most added player, Tyler Lockett.
I think people are really gravitating toward him after the breakout game, and they remember that he's somebody who has great deep speed, and they just saw Drew Brees rip up the Cardinals defense for, you know, a bunch of yards and a bunch of touchdowns. Brandon Cooks just had a huge game against them. I'm a little nervous about Lockett too. The things that stand out to me are the positives are he's had at least 6 targets 4 straight games. They're involving him more in the offense, at least 4 catches in 3 straight games. But the touchdown that he had last week was his first of the year. The 130 yards he had was, like you said, the most of the year. His previous high was 99, and that was back in week two. The 57-yard touchdown, longest catch of the year, previous high before that, 53 yards, again, back in week two. And I can't help but think that Russell Wilson just won't have the same type of success as Drew Brees, even though he's playing at home and even though the Cardinals are on the road. I can't help but feel like Arizona's defense will play a little bit tougher after such a bad game last week, and I think the offensive line makes a difference. I think the Saints' offensive line was healthier last week, and they played better and protected Brees better. And I don't know if the offensive line in Seattle is going to be able to do the same thing.
Yeah, I'll take it back. If I were still playing in all of my leagues and this were like week 10, then I might be interested just to see if he can do it again and can we go from there. But in your fantasy championship, the guy's had one. Well, he had the good game when he had the 75-yard rushing touchdown 3 weeks ago. But as a receiver, he's had maybe two good games this year. So I can't see that many people trusting Tyler.
He's a
Lockett
daily fantasy sleeper.
Yeah. All right. Others on the most added list, the Tennessee DST, the Giants DST, Ryan Griffin against Cincinnati, and Charles Clay, who has had three revenge games since becoming a Bill and facing the Dolphins. He's only done well in one of them. But we do like Griffin. We like Griffin more than Clay, yes?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I was a little surprised where you guys are in the Giants DST. It was a little lower than I thought. Let's see, 9th for Jamie, 11th for Dave, and 13th for Heath. It's probably just trying to stick it to me. Like,
basically, yeah, I look each week, I do all my rankings, and then I say, okay, where are the Giants? How can right. I move them down?
What can I do to tick off Asia?
Just for the
rankings.
First couple days of the week, and then like Thursday about 4 o'clock, I'll put them all where I think they're really supposed to be.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, no, I mean, they are low. And like the Titans, you guys all have the Titans over the Giants.
Yeah, they're playing Jacksonville.
Yeah, the Giants are playing the Eagles. Carson Wentz throwing a ton of picks. Giants have a much better defense, much better than the Titans. And the Giants have been very good. I mean, they were great against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago, and that team doesn't give up points to DSTs. And the Eagles, now the Ravens did not have a good game against them. That was surprising. But the four opponents before that were very good against the Eagles. So I don't know, I was just a little surprised. A little offended.
Yeah, well, no one is surprised by that.
No, I'm not offended. But all right, we'll preview that game later. We can talk about their DST. Here's your email of the day at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. It's from Steve from an awful small town in Western Mass. You think he means like an awfully small town or like a small town that's awful?
Probably awful.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you meant awfully, he would have said awfully small.
Yeah, probably. He says, "Dear Eddie, James, Kristen, Ty, and sometimes Don."
Those sound like Packers running backs.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. "I wake up this morning with extreme angst to see which players I was able to get off the waiver wire. To keep a long story short, I was beaten out in trying to get Ty Montgomery. The only part I have an issue with is the person who grabbed Montgomery from me is the person I knocked out of the playoffs this past week. We had an agreement that once players are out of the playoffs, well, you know, fantasy owners are out of the playoffs, the waiver wire is off limits, and he claims he put the claim in Sunday night before he lost and never deleted the claim once I beat him. Should he have to drop Ty Montgomery and give the final two teams the opportunity to get Montgomery, or should I as the commissioner just lock the lineups now and call that instance a loss?"
He doesn't even have to drop him. Manually remove him off the team.
Yeah.
But if the rule is known, then the guy's a goofball for having Ty Montgomery even in his waiver claims, and he shouldn't be allowed to have him. And that transaction should be reversed, and at the time of the transaction, whoever was next up on waivers should get first crack at Ty Montgomery.
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, and if the other owner in the league doesn't like that, I don't know what to tell you. But you got to let the other owner, the guy that the commissioner's playing against in the title game, has to be aware of the situation, and he has to know that Ty Montgomery is going to go to the commissioner, who would normally be in the right position to pick up Ty Montgomery, if not for the schmo who picked him up in the first place because he's out of it and he wasn't thinking.
Right, but if the other owner in the finals had a higher waiver claim and also wanted Ty Montgomery,
then he should get Ty Montgomery.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Here are your news and notes. Julio Jones returned to practice. AJ Green, Melvin Gordon. How many of those three do you expect to play? Julio, Green, and Melvin.
It's your game. It's your game.
I thought we were all just sitting here not talking.
No, no, this is the Dave. This is the Dave Richards show.
Julio and AJ.
Dave Richards show.
All right, we're expecting the wide receivers, not Melvin Gordon, right now. How about Theo Riddick? You expect him?
No.
Ladarius Green?
Also no.
Jay Gruden said the plan is for Jordan Reed to play this week, but that could change.
I'm sinking him lower and lower in my rankings.
You know, a friend of mine texted me this morning. He has Jordan Reed. Which tight end should I pick up, Eric Ebron or someone else? And I said, you know, I think I might prefer Vernon Davis. How about you guys?
Especially if Reed doesn't play, but why would you go and pick up Vernon Davis when there's so many other tight ends you can go and
like over and Ryan Griffin and over Charles Clay?
Over Deion Sims and over Hunter Henry?
If Reed is out, that would be my first inclination, but am I wrong?
If Reed was out, I would put him ahead of Clay, ahead of Sims, behind Henry, behind Griffin.
All right. And then Ebron, like, I'm not interested at all in Ebron.
No, he's been terrible.
Yeah. Even in good matchups. Jared Goff expected a start. He's still in the concussion protocol, so we're not sure, but he is expected to start as of now. Aaron Rodgers says his calf is getting better. Pittsburgh defensive end Stephon Tuitt has a knee sprain, but he could play this week, and that would help their run defense. And Larry Fitzgerald hinted he is not certain about returning next season. What are you going to do, Heath, if Larry Fitzgerald retires?
I thought he was not certain about returning to the Cardinals next season.
Oh, okay. I took it as a retirement thing.
No, no. Larry Fitzgerald isn't going to retire.
Okay.
He's just looking for a better quarterback.
Dante Moncrief practiced this week. Jamie Eisenberg, do you think Dante Moncrief is going to play?
No.
Oh, man. Wait. Hold on. The first word that Jamie utters on the podcast should not be no. It's just starting it off on a bad note. Jamie, did you have a nice morning today?
No.
Oh, come on. Well, things are only going to get better. Good morning, Jamie.
No.
All right. So, no, kids. Seriously, you don't expect Dante Moncrief to play?
No.
Okay. Dave wanted to talk about the playoff scenarios. Is that okay with you, Jamie?
No.
Dave, what do we need to know as fantasy owners?
If the Giants lose and the Eagles win, the Cowboys have clinched the number one seed in the NFC. Which right. means that the next two games for them are completely inconsequential. That includes week 16, and it could mean Dak Prescott doesn't play a full game. It might especially mean that Ezekiel Elliott doesn't play a full game. So I think if you've got Cowboys on your fantasy team, you've just become a big Giants fan, like little Harry Adam Azer.
And I want to assure all of you Cowboys owners, don't worry, the Giants are going to win this game.
Is that a guarantee?
You heard it here first. They are going to win.
Okay, so they're going to lose.
No?
Like, yeah, he just totally hazed his own team.
They're going to win. You think I would do that if I really felt I was a jinx? No.
I understand that you've not really felt all year long that you were crushing people's hopes and dreams, but you did it again last week, and you just did it to your own team.
Jamie, what do you think? Are the Giants going to win on Thursday?
Bet the farm on the Eagles.
Yes. Oh, he didn't say no. I thought he was going to say no. The Patriots can clinch home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs. If they win or tie, and Oakland loses or ties.
Oh, so they don't... Actually,
technically, if New England and Oakland both tie, then they don't clinch yet.
But if they both win, they don't clinch?
Correct.
Oh, okay. All right, that's good to know if you own the Patriots in Week 17.
Right, so if you're a Patriots fan and you play into Week 17 in your league and you're hoping for Tom Brady to have a big game, then you need a Patriots win and a Raiders win. The Steelers can lock up their division if they win on Sunday. The Texans can lock up the AFC South with a win and a Titans loss. I would imagine in both situations, because they can't get a bye, they would probably just chill out in Week 17, both of those teams, which means no Tom Savage, which would be terrible. And Seattle can clinch a first-round bye, and they can't catch Dallas either way. With a win and a Detroit loss and an Atlanta loss or tie.
Okay. And
so I guess that's possible. So there's a chance Seattle could be useless by Week 17 as well. And that's it.
Yeah, the last thing is that when the Giants win, they will clinch a playoff spot. And I don't know if they're going to have much to play for in Week 17. In fact, might be better to get the 6 seed and play Dallas than the 5 seed and play Seattle if you do win first round. But they might not be playing for much in Week 17. Unclear at this point. But they are going to win. All right, let's talk about rankings disputes. Yeah, let's do that. Okay.
When did you look at these rankings?
This morning.
Okay.
But you can tell me if anything has changed.
There may have been something that changed.
So I got 2 quarterbacks, 3 running backs, and 2 wide receivers. After we do this, we'll preview the Giants and Eagles, which the Giants are going to win. And also, I asked the people out there for the best stocking stuffers.
I need
advice on that, actually. So.
Little miniature bottles of alcohol.
Yeah, a lot of people said booze. So
That's the correct answer.
that's not going to happen.
That's how you're going to get through the rest of the day.
Definitely not going to happen. All right, Kirk Cousins, let's start with him. He's actually the number 5 quarterback in fantasy this year. 3 games in a row under 20 fantasy points at Arizona, at Philadelphia, and then the dud, 9 points against Carolina 2 nights ago. Jamie has Cousins 8th. No. Dave has Cousins 13th, and Heath is the high man on Cousins at 5th overall.
Man, I hope I don't ruin all these, but I did drop Cousins this morning to 9th. So Dave's the low man on Cousins.
All right, so now Jamie's the high man on Cousins at 8th, which is great because we haven't heard from Jamie. Hello, Jamie. Would you like to talk about Kirk Cousins? Please say yes.
No.
Ah.
Sure. What's up?
All right. Do you trust him at Chicago this week?
Yes.
Why?
I think last week is a byproduct of bad receiver play. The drops killed him in some key spots. I think he'll bounce back to the level that we saw prior to this 3-game stretch. I think he's throwing the ball enough. And he had almost a similar situation last year. He was coming off a bad home game against Dallas in week 13, where he had 14 fantasy points, which ended a streak of pretty consistent production. Went into Chicago in week 13. Went into Chicago in week 14 and had 23 fantasy points in that game. I think we'll have a similar performance from him this week. So
he ran for a touchdown.
He threw for 300, 1-1, and ran for a touchdown in that game. So I think he'll get you 2 touchdowns in this game. I think he'll get you over 20 fantasy points. I'm not backing away from him after one dud. The 2 games before that were okay. The last week's game was really frustrating. Obviously, I had him as the start of the week, but volume is still there for him. His receivers are still playing well enough that they'll deliver for him this week. And I actually think it will be better, just to piggyback on the previous conversation, if Jordan Reed is out, Vernon Davis would be a top 10 tight end.
Oh, okay. Oh, you were there for that, huh?
Yes.
I didn't realize JB had been in for that long. And you didn't hear what I said about you earlier, though, did you?
That I'll be at your house dinner? Yes.
And Dave, you're the low man, 13th on Kirk Cousins.
I think it's a very tough spot for him after playing on Monday night and then going on the road on a Saturday to play against Chicago. I think the Bears' defense is actually pretty good. There have been some weather issues, notwithstanding, though. They've only allowed 1 passing touchdown in their last 3 games.
Yeah, it's fluky.
Yeah, it should be 3.
But I also think that there isn't a high ceiling on Kirk Cousins anymore. I don't think he's a 30-point fantasy quarterback.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
I think he's in that 20-point range, right, which is why he's toward the bottom of my, you know, not exactly an elite number 1 fantasy guy.
Yeah, 13th is not so bad when there are no buys. Ben Roethlisberger, we'll bring Heath in now. And Heath, did you move him up to like number 1 or something to completely?
He's 8th. He only moved up 1 spot because I moved Cousins behind him.
Okay, so Roethlisberger is 2nd for Jamie, 5th for Dave, and 8th for Heath. He is averaging 32.2 fantasy points per game at home. All right, Heath, low man on Roethlisberger. You tell us why.
I mean, I think I was the high man on Roethlisberger last week, and I had him 13th on the road. And I have a hard time with this whole Ben Roethlisberger home road thing.
I do too.
Because it's not like he's just playing a lot worse. And we talked a lot last week about how it's volume dependent, but that hasn't really been that big a deal either. It's like 2 or 3 pass attempts difference. The real difference has been touchdowns. And that seems a little bit fluky to me. This is a very good Baltimore defense. I still believe it.
I don't think they are. I think their run defense probably is. But look, I've been kind of burned by Baltimore because I didn't buy them going into the Dolphins game. I thought the Dolphins were going to win that game. And then Ravens stomp them. And I said, wow, I guess I was wrong about the Ravens. And then even though they put up a fight against the Patriots, they really benefited from special teams gaffes. They were completely outclassed. So
I kind of look at this like Ben's game. His last home game was against the Giants, right?
Yeah.
Another good defense. He threw for 280 and two touchdowns.
That's a much better secondary than what he's facing this week without Jimmy Smith.
I think 280.
Are we for sure that Jimmy Smith isn't playing?
I'm assuming he's not going to play, given that his ankle injury was carted when he was carted off 2 weeks ago.
But that could change things, though.
Yeah, it'll definitely change things.
Yeah.
He'll still be top five for me, but he won't be two.
All right. Well, look, he's eighth for Heath, so you're starting. But you have to make tough decisions this week. So guys that you have in front of him, Andrew Luck, Derek Carr, Philip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers, among Brady, Breeze, and Ryan, too. Yeah. Okay. So you just think, 23-ish fantasy points, maybe?
Yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, 20 to 24.
And you put him ahead of Kirk Cousins?
Ahead of Cousins.
Yeah, I like that.
Ahead of Winston, Newton, Wilson.
Mm-hmm. I'll take the over.
You'll take the over on the points, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you have
he'll
a
be
second.
Closer to 30.
All right, big game. Big game for you, you think, Jamie. Dave, what do you think?
About?
Roethlisberger.
I like him.
All right. All right, we can move on. Bilal Powell, 11th for Jamie, 10th for Dave, and 20th for Heath in standard, 8th, 8th, and 17th in PPR. Hey, Heath, you're the low man on Bilal Powell at New England.
I know he was just had a fantastic game against the Miami Dolphins. I just don't think he's going to be able to match that type of production. I've moved him up just a little bit, but it's like 19th and 13th. Instead of 20th and 17th. And yes, the Patriots have had some troubles covering pass-catching running backs. Although, here recently, it hasn't been near as bad.
Kenneth Dixon would probably disagree with
you. Except for Dixon.
Well, he averaged 5 yards per reception.
I don't care about the yards per reception. I care about the catches.
But no, I mean, look, Heath, you're right. The last 4 weeks, look at the Patriots, they haven't allowed a 40-yard rusher. That's number
right.
one.
Right, and I think like you do care about the yards per reception in a standard league. In PPR, yeah, you care about the receptions, but those don't get you any points in a standard
league.
Yeah,
I still think he's going to touch the ball enough that he'll fall into probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 13 to 18 fantasy points.
Does he score?
That's he's going to touch the ball enough. There's a good chance of that.
That's what makes me nervous. I think he could touching the
ball.
The
only thing that
enough,
makes me nervous is Forte's usage.
Right. That's the
could that go up?
Yeah, that's the only concern I would have.
Well, then we've got him too high.
Maybe. Or maybe they just decide that Forte is who it is.
They may say that Forte is going to start again right before the game and then not give him the ball.
Well, you know, the score, I don't know how that's going to impact it because, like I said, the Patriots, 4 weeks in a row, have given up less than 40 rushing yards to the primary running back. That's amazing. And they're blowing teams out. But actually, within that four-game stretch was the Jets game, and they didn't blow the Jets out. That was one of the closer Jets games this year, one of the better Jets games. But, you know, still, you say he plays from behind, Powell catch a lot of passes, you still want him to be able to get some rushing yards. This is a very good run defense. They give up, like, the fifth fewest rushing yards per game, somewhere around there. I just want to bring those other little factoids into it. It's kind of tough. Because of the Forte thing. Not sure
the Forte
know.
Thing is part of it, and then, like, the touchdown probably makes the difference between where Jamie has him ranked and where I have him ranked.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, Thomas Rawls. Dave is in the middle here. So Jamie has Rawls 17th, Dave has him 21st, Heath has Rawls 24th, and then in PPR, Jamie still has him 17th, Dave has Rawls 24th, and Heath 27th. So Jamie, you're the only one that considers Rawls a top 20 guy. You have him 17th.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a disinterested Arizona team going into a buzzsaw. And so I don't think it's the same situation as the Rams front seven. You've seen the Cardinals on the road and what the production they've allowed to running backs. And I still think you're going to get probably 20 plus carries from Rawls. So I'm not backing away from him as much as, I'm backing away from last week, but not as much as, probably Dave and Heath are.
Would you consider last week's Rams team an interested unit?
More so than Arizona this week.
Really?
Yep.
I don't
fired coach. They were happy about Jeff Fisher being gone. Thursday night primetime spot. Still have two of the best defensive tackles in the NFL playing in that game. And Arizona, I think, just is going to give up.
I have a hard time believing in the give up argument.
So
fair.
I believe,
and I also have a very hard time.
They also gave up 130 rushing yards at home to the Saints last week.
Now that's true. Here's what bothers me. Thomas Rawls kind of sucks, and his offensive line
sucks.
Good.
He doesn't suck.
Well, he's the one playing behind the offensive line. He couldn't even get 40 yards on over 20 carries last week.
Because every time he touched the ball, there was a guy in his face last week.
Right. And so you don't think there's going to be times where that happens this week with
no.
him?
No. I could buy into the give-up theory a little much if it wasn't Arizona and Seattle. Like, I have a hard time believing those guys are going to go up there and just get whomped by a division rival.
They just gave up 40 points at home to the Saints.
To Drew Brees, yes, they did.
But listen,
and 130.
Thomas Rawls just ran for 34 yards against the Rams.
Yes, he was awful.
I think that's an equally good argument.
Totally understand it.
But,
believe me, I
but
get it.
Part of that Saints game was Deion Buchanan not playing.
Right.
Right. We wanted to see what their defense would look like without two important starters. It was terrible. It was pretty bad anyway. So
I'd say terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible last week.
Yeah, it was terrible. Okay, good. It was terrible.
This is an Arizona defense that was terrible last week against Thomas Rawls, or a Seattle running game that was terrible last week.
Yeah, but Rawls, I mean, not look, actually, all the points are pretty good here. Rawls
ten days of rest, too.
Rawls was very good in the previous two games, at least on a per-carry basis.
Yeah.
But on a fantasy basis, would you say he was good the last two? I mean, obviously one of them he was outstanding.
He's so wait, you year, right? Also just to back up, Dave, on our video show, you said Rob Kelly had a good fantasy day Monday night, right?
Oh, but a terrible rushing day.
Right.
I said it here yesterday.
So if Rawls had scored last week, good fantasy day or bad fantasy day?
He would have had 10 fantasy points.
Yes. Like,
that would have been good enough.
So if he scored last week, where would you have ranked him?
Going probably right in the exact same spot I have him this week.
Okay.
Okay.
So right. I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't be surprised if he had 10 fantasy points against Arizona. I don't think he's getting a 16. 100 in a touch? I don't see.
No, I can see him 80 in a touchdown.
Anybody starting Kenneth Farrow over Thomas Rawls this week?
No.
In PPR, maybe.
Anybody starting DeAndre Hopkins over Thomas Rawls this week?
No.
In PPR, definitely.
No.
Oh. All right, Todd Gurley. Dave, you got him 20th. He's a top 12 running back. Gurley's a top 12 running back for Jamie and Heath. Not so much for Dave. You have him 20th in standard and 21st in PPR.
I just think he's terrible. Ever since Jared Goff's gone under center, Gurley hasn't been good all year. Like, he scored, like, what, one touchdown since Goff's come in? And now they're saying Goff's going to play. And I know the 49ers defense is total trash, but I just have a hard time trusting him, knowing how bad he's been and how bad his offensive line's been. We have a 14-game sample size of this.
Yeah, but there's a 5-game sample size with Goff. He scored in two of those games.
He scored in two of them?
Yeah, he scored the first one against Miami, and he scored against the Falcons, both at home, his last two home games. He's been better at home than on the road. Yes, he's been awful, but the trash on the other side is worse than the trash on his side, and so he will run through that trash and have probably his best game of the season.
To be fair, I do have him one spot ahead of Thomas Rawls.
Yeah. Some guys that Jamie and Heath have who are we talking about?
Gurley?
Todd Gurley ahead of include Frank Gore, Mark Ingram, Lamar Miller, even Carlos Hyde for Jamie, not for not for Heath. That's an interesting
bold.
One.
I like the boldness.
Yeah, Gurley's going to have a great game. He's our start of the week this week.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Jamie, that's so dangerous. He's Todd Gurley.
But yeah. If it's 10 fantasy points.
It's San Francisco. No, he'll be 15 plus.
All right, let's go, Todd Gurley.
Aggressive on them for 17.
Let's go. Let's do one more here. Amari Cooper. 22nd for Jamie, 8th for Dave, 11th for Heath, 21st for Jamie and PPR, 7th for Dave, and 12th for Heath. So Heath and Dave are cool with Cooper. Jamie is not. Heath, you haven't spoken in a while. Why are you putting Amari Cooper in your top 12 against the Colts?
Yeah, I moved Michael Crabtree one spot ahead of him, and it's funny, in that range, I've got three sets of wide receivers that are all back-to-back. And you've got Crabtree Cooper, you've got Cooks Thomas, you've got Thomas Sanders. And I've all got them within one spot of each other because I kind of feel like they're a little bit similar situations and you don't know which guy's going to be a number one, but one of them is. I don't Earlier in the week, I was thinking which guy is Vontae Davis going to cover, and that's the guy that I definitely want to start, and I'm not really interested in the other one. Vontae Davis hasn't been that good this year.
He's probably better than the other cornerback, though.
He's been better lately.
He's been better lately. For the season, he rates out quite a bit worse than the other corner, but really?
Well, he's probably
was
playing
so
against...
bad early in the year.
He's also playing hurt.
Yeah, he's probably playing against better opponents, too. Better receivers, my guess.
Yeah, and he will be this week.
Yeah, I don't know anymore. Like, Crabtree's very good. Cooper's a better player, but I don't know that he's better in fantasy.
I've got him back-to-back. I've got
regardless,
a lot higher this week.
Yeah, regardless, you have Cooper top 12, and he's been 2 fantasy points in 3 of his last 4 games. And Jamie, you have him nowhere near top 12. You have him around 20th.
Yeah, at this point, I'm ranking him on potential. Because, you know, it's funny that we could sit here and call Todd Gurley trash. The fantasy production is almost similar when you look at it by position, by what they've delivered, by expectation. Amari Cooper's been a bust.
Yeah, I can't justify having him where you said I have him.
I have a hard time calling a guy with 1,000 yards through 14 games a bust.
He's just been very boomer bust for
he's
fantasy.
He's been
not
boomer
ready to call
bust,
him a bust
yes.
either, but
he's the number 12
been,
wide receiver.
He's number 12
6,
wide
7,
receiver.
22, 4, you know, I'm making those numbers up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games with double digits in fantasy points in standard league.
How many with
1,
6 or
2,
less?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games with 7 points or less. And how many, what was the number you said?
6 or less.
6 or less? So 1, 2, like 3, 4, 5, 6 games with 6 games or less.
Right. So pretty polarizing.
Yeah,
he's been a boomer bust receiver, right?
Turns out he was the best sell high candidate of the season.
Absolutely.
We just didn't know it. All right, so we'll talk more about that game. That's tomorrow on the AFC home games. I got a notification on my phone yesterday. Heath Cummings has challenged me to a head-to-head contest on draft. And we did a snake draft last night, took a minute or two, and I am projected to win this week, Heath, so chew on that.
Well, that would be nice for you to get back to 500.
Anyway, Heath and I are hooked. We're playing in a lot of contests. The best part of fantasy football is the draft, and you can draft as many times as you want now. Download the draft app. Use our promo code FFToday. You will get a 100% bonus on up to $600 when you deposit. So you can do a head-to-head. You can draft with up to 9 other people. We'll do more listener leagues this week. I'll talk about that probably tomorrow. It's really fun. It's really easy to use. And your chances of winning money on draft are almost 3 times better than your chances of winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. I've converted. Please join me. Download Draft right now. Search Draft in the App Store. It's going to come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code FFToday when you download, and you will get a 100% bonus on up to $600 when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter the promo code FFToday. Okay, let's go to the Giants and the Eagles here. But first, it's Team Name Tuesday on a Wednesday. Ah. Riley Davis says, I can sing this one. Is it too late now to Amari?
You couldn't wait to sing this one, could you? You woke up this morning, you're like, oh, yes, I get to sing Bieber today on the podcast.
That's not the worst song. I don't like Bieber at all.
Uh-huh.
That's not the worst song. Not the best. And the last one here is, I'm sorry, I don't have a name, but it's funny. Dear Jeff, Walter, and Donnie, is that Big Lebowski?
I believe so.
No Country for Old Manziel. It's kind of good. I like that. It's pretty good.
Mm.
All right, Giants and Eagles. It's the last Thursday night game of the year, and I just wondered if these got sloppy, you know? And the last 2 years, 21-13 Jacksonville over Tennessee, and then I remember this one pretty well, 23-20, a terrible game. Oakland beat San Diego in overtime. Bad game for fantasy. It's got to be pretty tough for these guys at this point in the year to play a Thursday night game. The Eagles have owned the Giants in Philadelphia in the last 4 seasons, pretty much. They're 3-1, and Eli Manning has been terrible. So we'll start with him. Also should mention that Philadelphia, this is a knock against the Giants DST. Lane Johnson is back, their left tackle. They were 3-1 with him in the lineup.
Right tackle, sorry.
They were 3-1, with him, Lane Johnson. So first Eli Manning, 20th for Jamie, 15th for Dave, 17th for Heath. He's just can't trust him, right?
Very difficult to.
Okay.
The track record isn't very good. And I do have a feeling that Philadelphia comes out tough in this game. I'm not saying they're
going to
win.
They're not going
to. But I think they're going to be a big-time challenge for the Giants on both sides of the ball.
They've been a big-time challenge for every team that's come into their building, no question.
Just Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
No, Rodgers is the only one over 20 fantasy points.
Oh, I thought you were saying that.
Yep. No, they've shut down Roethlisberger, Ryan, and Cousins under 20 fantasy points. In terms
that,
of like
that game one. From Roethlisberger, he scored like 26 or something from Rodgers, 26-ish fantasy points was his worst in like five games during that stretch. He was torrid, worse than six games. So they actually did well comparatively. Giants running backs, do you have a preference here?
I still prefer Jennings. He's the most likely to score.
Jennings actually gets a bump with Vereen out because they just don't trust Paul Perkins in passing situations.
Yeah, and Jennings has had 15 or more carries in five of his last six games.
Yep, he's getting the workload again late in the season, just like he did last year.
Ben McAdoo should use a walkie-talkie and call Paul Perkins and tell him he's getting more work this week.
What a bunch of cheaters.
Right? It's four plays.
It's just too bad that they get off so easy when they do it.
They actually did not get off easy at all. They got a pretty stiff penalty. All right, so we're not starting those guys, though. I'm trying to think. Would you start Rashad Jennings or Mike Gillisley?
Gillisley.
I'd probably start Jennings.
Would you start? Go ahead, James.
I think Gillisley's chance for a touchdown makes him a little more. Gives him a little more upside. Does Jennings have a chance at scoring a touchdown?
Yeah,
no, but if Gillisley doesn't score, Jennings will be better.
Well, for sure. And I think Jennings has a chance of scoring a touchdown, yes.
Well, everybody does who plays football, technically.
Like, are we saying Gillisley has a 45-50% chance of scoring a touchdown?
Sure, and that's higher than Rashad Jennings.
And Jennings is probably 25-30% chance?
Maybe. How many? He scored, five times this year?
He scored three.
Three times this year?
About once every three or four
once
games.
Because
he missed a couple
plus.
Games.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He missed a couple games. So
that's 25%?
Yeah.
We're getting a little nerdy here.
Yeah, this is and it's not that important either. We're trying to help the people that are just desperate
for
running
back. He's been over five fantasy points once in his last four games, Jennings has.
And ironically, it was the game that he didn't get his 15 carries because he caught a touchdown at Pittsburgh. Moving on. We're going to start Odell Beckham. Any interest in Sterling Shepard this week?
Yeah. I like the matchup for him in the slot against Malcolm Jenkins.
No, because he doesn't score. He's terrible.
Yeah, I'm not particularly excited. I felt bad when I was looking at my rankings this morning and saw that I didn't have him in my top 48, so I made some adjustments to get him on that page, but it's at the very bottom of the top 48.
I think he's a safe 10 fantasy points.
No. Really?
Yeah, Eli in his last three at Philadelphia hasn't got multiple touchdowns, so I don't see it happening this week.
Yeah, Eli is so bad in Philadelphia, it's crazy. And would you start Tyler Lockett or Sterling Shepard?
Shepard.
Shepard, buzz close.
I think I'd go Lockett.
All right,
there's more upside with him.
We don't want to start Shepard if we can avoid
it. Not at all.
And let's go to the Eagles. Not starting Carson Wentz. The Eagles running backs are interesting. You know, it's a really good run defense, but it is a Thursday. So Ryan Matthews, 19, 15, and 20 carries in his last three healthy games, and he's done pretty well in them. I mean, one game he had 15 for 60 and, wasn't great for fantasy, but he's playing better. Do you have any interest in Ryan Matthews and or Darren Sproles this week?
Yeah, I'm starting Ryan Matthews most any place I have him. He's a top 20 running back this week.
Is it a little bit by default, though?
Just
it's
a lot by
default. Because you know it's volume for him.
Yeah.
Sproles coming back will hurt him, though.
Mm-hmm.
Would you
like
start
measuring him up against Gurley and Rawls? I don't know if he's quite. I don't know if he's a slam dunk for 10 fantasy points. Not that those two are definite 10 fantasy points. At least in my mind, they're not. But they could get there. I think maybe a little easier than Matthews. They're all in the same boat. I feel like they all have to score in order. I don't think there's 100 total yards.
I mean,
for
he just ran for 128 yards against the Ravens.
It's true,
and getting
his offensive line is getting a boost,
yep.
But. Like Jamie said, Sproles is going to come back, and that's going to take work away. Typically, when Sproles has played, he's gotten at least half the playing time.
Now, would you start Spencer Ware or Ryan Matthews?
Matthews.
Matthews.
How about Sammy Watkins or Ryan Matthews?
Matthews.
Oh. I'm probably going to go Matthews.
Jamie?
Matthews or Watkins?
Yeah.
I'll take Watkins PPR.
Okay. How about Jordan Matthews? Pretty low in the rankings. You know, I think Janoris Jenkins' absence, if he does not play, it's not certain yet, would really make a big difference for Jordan Matthews because it would put Cody Sensabaugh on Matthews, most likely, instead of Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. That is really something to keep an eye on. You guys have Jordan Matthews pretty low, outside the top 24. Jamie's got him as a number three. Dave has him as a number three in standard, number three in PPR, but higher end. Anyway, he's a number three receiver, borderline number three receiver, I think, for Jordan Matthews. But Heath, you're actually the high guy. So you want to talk about him?
There's lots of volume here. The Giants secondary won't be as good without Jenkins. He's had at least 10 targets in every game that he's played completely since week 7, not in the week 12 game that he got hurt. The volume's there. I'd expect somewhere around 60 to 70 yards, and you hope he scores a touchdown.
Jordan Matthews or Tyreek Hill?
Jordan Matthews easily.
Hill.
Hill has the one big play potential, even against Denver. He's matchup proof in that regard.
Of all the people I moved today, Hill was the one I moved the most.
Where'd you move him to?
Moving him down. Mid-30s, low-30s at wide receiver. I can't believe that after what he did against Denver just a few weeks ago, there's any chance at all they're going to give him any room. I think when he's on the field, he's more likely to see Chris Harris than anybody else. And
he might be too fast for Chris Harris.
Crazy, but it doesn't bother me.
He just got 3 targets in a game, didn't catch a pass, and was only good because he had a 68-yard run.
But that's what he is.
But you can't count on that every week, and against the Broncos. What receivers are good against the Broncos?
I don't know. I think
he
might be able to break another long run against the Broncos, given that defense right now.
I'm not.
It's a primetime game, right?
Yes.
Yep. We talked about this the last 2 times. This guy seems to show up on these primetime games for whatever it's worth. Like DeSean Jackson, you know, there's just these guys that have this ability to turn it up a notch.
Yeah. I'm not betting on a guy that just got 1 touch last week against maybe the best defense in the league.
All right. That's sorry to steer us back to the Eagles game here. Just finish up on Jordan Matthews. Okay, Jordan Matthews or Kenneth Farrow?
Farrow against the Browns, I think, has more upside.
Farrow.
Jordan Matthews or Rashad Jennings?
You know, it's funny, though. The guys who have given the Broncos problems, just to go back to Tyreek Hill for a second.
Okay.
I'm just looking at it because I was trying to pull it up.
This is how excited we are about the Thursday night game.
It's the speed guys.
Yeah.
Travis Benjamin beat him for a touchdown. I mean, I guess Kelvin Benjamin wouldn't count, but
definitely not. Stuck in the
Tyreek Hill, Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. All right. That's it for this game. Start Zach Ertz. Start him a lot.
Big time.
He is a top 3 tight end. We love Zach Ertz and the Giants DST. Even if Dave and Jamie and Heath don't love the Giants DST, they still like the Giants DST. You can start them. Would you guys start the Packers over them?
Yep.
And the Titans. All right. I did some Twitter polls about where you're going to draft players next year, and we're going to read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Do you want to hear the stocking stuffers ideas?
Sure.
Great. Well, first of all, the first Twitter poll I did was, do you play into week 17? And 80% of the people who answered said no. So it's what we're dealing with. 20% said yes. It's not an insignificant number. The best suggestions for the stocking stuffers, other than booze, candy, like Snickers and M&M's. You ever do that, Heath?
Yeah, we usually put a little bit of candy in there.
Money?
I don't really get that.
Why,
booze?
You don't get money?
No, I don't really understand putting money in the stocking.
Yeah, it's like kind of... I don't know.
Is that a little too impersonal, maybe?
Yeah, that's a good word. Better than
that's
what
like you didn't go buy stocking stuffers, so you're just throwing some singles in there.
booze, got a lot of that. Gum, mints, this is from The Real Take Steven. Gum, mints, shaving cream, basically any hygiene product I hate spending money on. Okay.
But you're looking for something to put in your fiance's stocking.
Yeah, I didn't get any good ideas here. Maybe candy.
Is that what this is all about?
No, not really. Tomorrow I am going shopping for stocking stuffers.
I would say what you need to do is think about things that she... Like, candy's fine if there's a certain type of candy she really likes. things she really likes.
I had a couple of good ones last year.
Yes. Show that you pay attention.
Last year I had a couple good ones. Because the big gift I got her was a coffee maker. And I got her like some coffee and I put it in the stocking and a gift card to Starbucks. And I think I also got her like those kitchen puns? Like this is how we roll and has like rolling pins. You ever seen those? They're pretty funny. They're cute. I got her a couple of those. And this year I wanted to get her a cutting board with Lionel Richie on it. It says, "Hello, is it me you're cooking for?" But that's like an expensive gift. So I think
you should use that cutting board
an expensive
and maybe
gift?
Cut the last few minutes of the podcast.
What are they getting
for the Lionel Richie cutting board?
It's too expensive. First of all, it can't fit in a stocking. I've already bought her actual gift. So this is going to be a Valentine's.
I want to know how much the Lionel Richie.
It was $50.
$50 for a cutting board?
Yeah.
How much did you spend on yourself for the Nintendo?
$60, but I already bought her a Christmas present. That was more than $50. I'd say this would have been additional.
How much did you spend on the big present?
Oh, like $175 or something.
My wife would kick my ass if I gave her a Lionel Richie cutting board.
It wouldn't be the only gift. And Allie would love it. We cook together. That's like our thing now.
Nothing says I love you more than make me dinner and here's an 80s pop singer.
It was funny. She would like it. All right. Here's some other fantasy football Twitter polls. In a 12-team league, when are you drafting Tyreek Hill in 2017? Rounds 3 through 4, rounds 5 and 6, rounds 7 or 8, and round 9 or later. So
are we guessing who won the poll or
yeah.
what we answer?
You could do both. What do you think won the poll? Rounds 3 and 4, 5 and 6, 7 and 8, or 9 or later?
I'm going to say round 7 and 8 won the poll, and that might be where I'd draft them too.
My answer would be 7 or 8. I'm going to say 5 to 6 won the poll.
I agree with you.
Dave is right on both counts. He's right on the first count. Round 7 or 8 won, but it was close. 40% said they would draft Tyreek Hill in round 7 or 8, and 34% said rounds 5 or 6. So mid-round pick. He's pretty interesting, and I don't agree with the Cordero Patterson comparisons.
I think the better one's Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. I do think. You know, what I brought up was that Baldwin is better than Lockett, was better than Lockett last year. And I think that Hill is probably better than Macklin. So will they just make Hill their featured guy on offense?
I think Hill is better than Macklin at a lot of things. I'm not sure this playing the standard wide receiver position is one of them.
He's just better at football than him, though.
Definitely fast.
But I don't think he turns into the guy that gets 9 to 10 targets if Macklin's healthy.
Hey, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
Adam?
Yes?
How much are the Wang Chung potholders?
Dude, the kitchen puns are really funny. We have one that's Baker's gonna bake, like Taylor Swift. They're very funny. All right, next Twitter poll. In a 12-team league, when are you drafting Thomas Rawls in 2017? Round 2, round 3, round 4, round 5 or later.
My first thought is how would I compare Rawls to Gurley next year? Because I think I'm ready to commit to Gurley with a round 3 pick next year. On the hunch that this is assuming that the Rams like get a decent
and assuming that Thomas Rawls
caller.
Is like definitely the starting running back in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to be that guy.
I know.
I'm saying 5 or later.
I'm going to say people voted round 3. I don't think I'd take him until round 4.
There's no way people voted round 3 after the game you just had.
What do you think they voted? Round 4 or round 5 or later?
5 or later.
Heath?
Yeah, 5 or later.
No, they voted round 4. 37%. Round 5 or later, 33%. Round 3, 24% for Thomas Rawls. So, yeah, what do you think? If we were doing a mock draft right now for next year, when would you start looking at Thomas Rawls?
I think middle to the end of round 4.
Okay.
Yep. It's
kind of where he went this year. And finally, in a 12-team league, when are you drafting Jay Ajayi in 2017?
God, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago,
I forgot to give the choices, Dave. My bad. Round one,
I'm
round
assuming
two.
The choices are round one, round two, round three.
Round one, round two, round three, round four. Round four or later. Yeah, what do you think won?
I also am not sure he's going to be the only guy in the Dolphins' backfield next year.
I don't think they're bringing in somebody else. I don't think they're bringing in somebody else.
You don't think Kenyon Drake gets a chance?
Yeah, that would be the point. But I don't. I think they know what Drake is. I think they know what Williams is. I think they know that Ajayi is their workhorse. Mm-hmm. And so this is the point, though, following his draft situation, that you have to start to worry about the knee. Because a lot of work this year for the first time. Will he hold up, you know, with the bone-on-bone situation? Mm-hmm. Does it start to become an issue? So I don't know if that really affects his draft status going in, because you can't really bank on that being a problem until you see it. And I think if they do bring somebody else in, you know, a veteran cast off like they did with Arian Foster, or somebody of, you know, name value in the draft with a later round pick after wasting the third round pick on Kenyon Drake, you know, then you have to be a little bit nervous about where he is health wise. But I think the biggest thing with Ajayi is, what's Mike Pouncey's status?
All right, but what do you think the people said? Round one, two, three, or four?
I'm going to say people said round two, and I'm debating round two or round three.
I'm going to say round three for me and round three for the people.
I agree with Heath.
Yeah, that's correct. People said 44% said round three, and second was round four or later at 30%. Round two had 24%. Only 2% of people said round one. Oh, yeah, looks like Ajayi's round three or four pick for people right now.
But it could be a steal if Pouncey gets through 16 games.
Yeah.
Or if they just address the center position in general.
It's just...
Hey, Adam.
What?
Important question. What should I get my mom for the holidays? A Joan Rivers toilet seat cover or the Max Headroom shower squeegee?
I will also say that I bought toilet paper of one of the presidential candidates, I won't say which one, as a white elephant gift, which I don't have time to explain, but somebody will be getting.
That's a good thing you brought that up. Yeah. I think you spend your money worse than anybody I know.
That was like $5. Okay.
Could have got like three little miniature bottles of booze for that.
Yeah, I don't buy booze. Emails and tweets. Joe from a tree across the street from CBS. That's kind of creepy. Hello, Joe, Bilal, and Ty, undrafted players who were top 10 scorers the last 3 weeks. My league has Ty Montgomery as a running back. Where would you rank him at running back?
Top 12.
Yes.
I'm going to go a little lower than that, but still pretty high. I might say 14th.
I would say that Ty Montgomery would be probably 11th for me, right behind Carlos Hyde.
Okay, guys, I know the answer for Dave, but for Jamie and Heath, Gurley or Montgomery?
Gurley.
Ty Montgomery.
Oh. David Johnson at Seattle or Ty Montgomery?
David Johnson.
Johnson, okay. This is from Connor. Where's Connor from?
Moon County, Pennsylvania.
Dear Freddie, Brian, Roger, and John.
Freddie, Brian, Roger, John.
Yeah, I feel like I should know that. Oh, it's Queen.
Oh. Okay.
There we go. Great band. If Julio Jones and AJ Green are active this week, are they automatic starts despite their injuries? Would you start Devontae Adams over either Green or Jones?
If they have a full practice on Friday, they are automatic starts for me.
All right.
Which one is the matchup that scares you the most?
I think Green scares me the most, but not because of the matchup, because it's a hamstring.
Well, I mean, listen, they both have, you know, lower body injuries that impact their running, so I'm worried about them both in that regard.
I'll tell you the thing that makes me nervous about Julio Jones. He's only going to get half of his production against the Panthers this time that he had last time.
What was it, like 300 yards?
Yeah.
Well,
I just want a full practice Friday.
What makes me nervous about Julio Jones is Jordan Reed, you know?
I don't think he's going to punch anybody. Julio seems like a nicer guy than that.
I feel like if AJ Green plays, they're out of contention. He's got to be pretty healthy if they're going to play him.
I feel like if he comes back to play, it's to get 1,000 yards. because he's very close.
Maybe. But if Julio Jones plays, you know, he's to me seems more likely to be a decoy or leave with an injury. That's just my unscientific take on it. Agree, disagree?
Who's a decoy?
Julio.
More likely than Green, because like Green has nothing to play for. So if they bring him back, they're not going to bring him back just for, you know, kicks.
I think he wants to come back and get 1,000 yards and probably one or two more touchdowns to make his year look good.
Yeah. All right.
Whereas Julio is on a team that's going to the playoffs. I think Atlanta's going to want to be smart with him, too. And they proved over the past 2 weeks that they can compete in games even without Julio.
Yeah.
So you might be right on about the decoy talk with Julio. It's going to be nerve-wracking, but how do you sit those guys?
Well, I have in a half-point PPR league in the championship, I have both those guys, as I've said like 10 times. And my three receivers that I started last week were Taylor Gabriel, Michael Crabtree, and DeSean Jackson. And I think Gabriel sits, but I'm going to have to sit either Crabtree or DeSean Jackson, and I don't really want to. I will, but, you know, like I will sit Julio. What's that?
You can't play him as a flex?
No, those would be my two wide receivers and a flex.
Oh, I'm sorry, you have both. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm playing AJ Green against you in our finals, and I have Julio in another one.
Yeah.
And you're just not sweating it at all. You're just putting them in.
Well, in just coincidentally, both leagues, Taylor Gabriel was the guy that's in their spot. Like, I'm still starting Tyreek Hill because I'm not worried about the situation with him. And I'm still starting, I forget who the third guy is. Sorry.
You can really make a case against both of them if you wanted to.
Of course.
A case for them.
I wouldn't use them
in daily. Pretty obvious. They're Julio Jones and AJ Green.
Yeah, I wouldn't use them in daily just because of their price.
Yeah. It's easy to get away from Taylor Gabriel if Julio Jones plays, right?
Yeah, of course.
But it's not that easy to get away for me, Michael Crabtree and DeSean Jackson. No.
No, and to be fair, you know, the Panthers' secondary has played much better of late, and the Texas secondary has been good for the most part all season long. So they have, it's not like cakewalk situations that they're stepping into.
This is a tweet from Nicholas. Why are you guys so high on Sammy Watkins this week?
Dolphins are going to be without Byron Maxwell, most likely. He's been their best corner. I think this is a game where if the Dolphins offense shows up, that they're going to get the throw. So last week's game to me was more fluky than anything. I don't think they're having the same success running. Not that you're benching LeSean McCoy, but they're not going to just walk right through the Dolphins like they walk right through the Browns.
All right. And let's go to Brian. Brian needs to start three of these wide receivers for his championship. Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, Rashard Matthews, and Stephon Diggs. But he can also pick up Dontrell Inman and Ty Montgomery. So who can we eliminate here?
Well, go get Ty Montgomery first.
Let's drop Diggs.
Go get Ty Montgomery. Dump Diggs, get Montgomery.
Yeah, starting Diggs. All right, so
I was actually optimistic about Diggs when Thielen wasn't going to play.
All right, well, you really?
Yeah.
Wait, is Thielen going to play? Oh, he is? Okay.
I still am not... Like, I think Diggs is going to have a better game than he's had.
Yeah, but he's not going to be... You can't start him over Davante Adams, right?
No. You're starting Davante Adams, you're starting Ty Montgomery. For me, it comes down to Rashard Matthews or Stephon Diggs.
What about Inman?
Yeah, he can be in that conversation, too.
I'm not scared of Inman just because he didn't score last week.
Right.
So still does a lot of good things for that offense.
Yeah, he was second in targets. Second, led him catches, led him receptions. I think, though, both tight ends go off. I'm a little bit worried about the receivers, to be honest with you. Gates is three touchdowns away from breaking Tony Gonzalez's touchdown record.
That's interesting.
Set up very well to get two this week.
And then one next week.
And then he breaks it next week at home against the Chiefs. Now,
against the Chiefs, I don't know if that's going to be
so
easy to do.
But
he might get all three this week.
He might get all three this week. But if he gets one this week, they're forcing the ball to him as much as they possibly can. And it doesn't necessarily have to – he's not going to get two against the Chiefs. He could have the Jesse James game against the Chiefs, which is basically what he's been anyway.
But like one catch,
they
one
knew
yard,
last week touchdown. That he was three away and he got two targets.
Oh, I totally get that. But this is Rivers and his guy –
end zone targets.
Rivers and his guy and just selling out to force him the ball in any red zone situation that they possibly get.
Rivers is also seven touchdowns away from – tying his career high.
No end zone targets. Both of his targets were from his own 20.
All right, guys, let me get some more questions in here. Andrew from a big city in Ohio, Dave.
Let's go with Parma.
Okay. Dear Mario, Luigi, and Peach, three people I'll be hanging out with later this weekend. 10-team standard scoring league. I'm set at running back and wide receiver one, so who should I play at flex and wide receiver two? Ty Montgomery, Alshon Jeffrey, Malcolm Mitchell.
Montgomery and Mitchell for me.
Me too.
Yep.
This is from Molly. Dear Al, Seth, and Saul. Al, Seth, and Saul. Oh, Deadwood. Yeah, I don't watch Deadwood. Everybody loves it. Okay. I need one. Kenneth Farrow, Terrence West, Derrick Henry, Todd Gurley.
Gurley. Which Henry?
I'm
guessing
really Derek.
Matter. I'm just...
Derrick Henry.
Which West?
Kanye.
Gurley.
Okay.
Which Farrow?
Ben Ramsey's. Ben in Chicago. Was he a Farrow?
Let's just let this podcast go.
I don't know. okay, anyway, what are we at now? Oh, we're at
Ben
in Chicago.
Can you do that, right?
No, we're not doing it today.
Why not?
We're not prepared for that yet.
We're just not feeling it.
Okay. We're not feeling it.
Can I please read this? Ben in Chicago, dear Adam and Dave, Jamie, and Heath. My DeSean Jackson beat Cousins and Crowder on Monday night. I won by less than a point. The best part, I will be facing my lovely wife in the fantasy championship. Here's my question. Since both first and second place receive a cash prize, I feel we should up the stakes. What do you think should be on the line for our championship? I was thinking the naming rights to our first child, like in the league, but she may not go for that. Any ideas or suggestions? Yeah, I'm never good at this.
Like, someone's got to pick up somebody else's chores?
That's not a bad idea.
Or a whole off season. Imagine not doing the dishes for 6 straight months. My life would be just amazing.
I do the dishes every day. That's my job.
Well, because you're home all the time.
My kids do the dishes.
You're a homemaker.
I am. Hello. Is it me you're cooking for? I think chores.
I kind of like maybe a loser just has to cook dinner for a certain period of time.
Well, but that could be bad. What if he or she stinks at cooking?
I think the baby naming is cool, but not like you just get the only decision on the baby naming. Like, it comes down to two. That's what's going to inevitably come down to. You have two names that you like, and you get final say.
I think that's too big of a...
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a big week.
We could name the baby for them.
We already named yours.
We did.
How about the winner gets to speak at your rehearsal dinner?
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty good one. Sorry we weren't more helpful. We have to go. We will do the AFC home games tomorrow and get ready for a big Giants win on Thursday night. For Dave, Jamie, and Heath, I am Adam. See you later.
All right.